Welcome to Canada's National Bible Hour. This is Brian Albrecht, your host and president of Mission Go. Today our scripture reading is found in 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, which say, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." These are some of the best verses in the whole Word of God, because all of us sin and all of us are sinners. And yet, those of us who are believers, if we do commit sin, and we will from time to time, even though we're trying to live righteous lives, have an advocate with the Father, it's the Lord Jesus Christ, and if we pray to him and confess our sins, confessing our sins means that we agree with God against ourselves that yes, indeed, we did break his law, that we are rebellious, and that we need a Savior. It says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us. He forgives us our sins, but he also cleanses us. He purifies us so that we get back in fellowship with him and can continue our relationship with him. And it says, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we have been purified, so we have fellowship with the Lord Jesus. We have fellowship with the Father. And so we can ask him and praise him and thank him for all his blessings and benefits. What a great privilege it is to have the Lord Jesus who loves us and cares about us and allows us to have our sins forgiven as we walk with him each day of our lives.
This is Dennis Campbell standing in for Dr. Albrecht for this month's Global Times. And here in the studio today is Tammy Campbell, who's continuing to tell the story about her experiences in the establishment of the Treehouse program for girls at risk in Sierra Leone. Tammy, let's continue the story.
While we were spending a lot of time in the city in the beginning of my work, years passed and we began to work in the country. I saw many, many little girls spending their entire day hauling water from really terrible creeks and watersheds. The girls were taking that water home. The family would use that for cooking, of course, and bathing and all the things they needed water for. It took them so many hours to supply the family with the water that they needed. There was no way that they could attend school. They had other chores also. So I thought, how can I do something about this?
So you saw right away that the economic situation in a village required the girl to be the primary source for work. Is that correct? You saw them as the primary source of labor in these villages?
Definitely, yes. The girls are doing something very important in Sierra Leone. They're carrying water to their families. They're carrying wood to their families. The families need these women. They need what they're providing. It's hard work for those women. Everyone who comes with us, spends some time in Sierra Leone, recognizes that these women and girls are working very hard. But what I'm saying is, I would love to see those girls read a book. I would love for those women to know that they can be a doctor. If they would choose to have another occupation, there are so many occupations available to them. Rarely are they ever walking through the doors of those schools because they're working. And I thought, how can I help them? So I found a way to speak to my friends and say, let's gather some funds and help feed these families. Also, let's do something about them spending 4 hours every single day bringing water into their homes. If we can bring water closer to them, then they're going to be allowed to go to school. They'll have time. The first thing I did was build a library. I went, gathered as many books as I could, filled the library with books, then found many people who had the same thoughts I did about these young women going to school.
Well, that's exciting, Tammy. That's interesting how you saw this need and this void in this culture and began to fill it. We'd like to continue to hear more about how and how you selected these girls for this program.
Thank you for listening to Canada's National Bible Hour. It's a real privilege to share God's word, God's message through missionaries and through song each week. We love you. We're so thankful for you. This is a listener-supported program, and we certainly cannot be on the air without the support of our listeners. And even though this is a very difficult time to maintain ministries, we pray that God will continue to support us with financial giving and with legacy gifts so that we can continue into the future. God's been faithful for over 95 years, and we trust He'll continue to keep this broadcast on the air. This month, we're offering a pamphlet entitled Living Through the Greatest Pandemic of All Times. And we want you to order this pamphlet because it not only talks about COVID-19, but it talks about even a greater pandemic than COVID-19. And you can get this by using the title Pandemic. You can order your copy of Pandemic. Please write to Canada's National Bible Hour, Box 1210, St. Catharines, Ontario, L2R7A7, or in the United States, Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, 1423.
We praise Thee, O God, for the Son of Thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above.
Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Hallelujah, Amen. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Revive us again. We praise Thee, O God, for Thy Spirit. Shown us our Savior and scattered our night. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Hallelujah, Amen. Hallelujah, Thine the glory. Revive us again. Revive us again. Fill each heart with Thy love. May each soul be
Today's message is from Dr. Fred Hartman. The pamphlet that we've already talked about, The Greatest Pandemic of All Times. He's going to explain what he put in that track. And of course, after he's done preaching, you can write in and get a copy for yourself by using the term pandemic. Printed copies are available upon request.
The world today is in an absolute turmoil. We're faced with the COVID-19 epidemic that has devastated almost every nation on the earth. Worldwide political leaders are facing a total change in their constituents' culture, morals, and the way their people are living. A nuclear military threat is facing their people and all the nations. There is the threat of cyber warfare. Truth and honesty are rapidly being eroded. We find unrest, riots, murders, and even the call by some to eliminate any law enforcement. If a person speaks out against these things, they are immediately branded as racist or called by many other names. Debate has been turned to hatred. People are afraid to speak up for fear of losing their lives. Many are afraid to go out of their homes. This is a far different day than what the world was when I was a young man. Many have expressed the same sentiments to me. Where are we headed? The other Sunday, our pastor gave a fascinating message on how the political leadership of Israel had changed in the short time between King David and the sons of Solomon, his successors. In three short generations, that nation had gone from a righteous one to a sinful, idolatrous people who had totally turned their backs on God. Lying in bed that night, I got thinking about some of the events that are happening today. I would like to share with you some of those thoughts today. When we carefully look at the Bible, we learn that God established four institutions, and only four. They are marriage, family, human government, and the church. Throughout the centuries, we have seen many attacks on each of these institutions. However, today, we're seeing very serious attacks on each and all of these God-given institutions at the same time. Not one of them is without challenge, and even one or all of them could fall, causing civilization as we know it to collapse and disappear. This would put the entire world into absolute chaos, plunging it into a far darker time than that of the Middle or Dark Ages. This could bring about the greatest pandemic the world has ever known. In my mind, I pondered for a long time, seeking the answer as to why all these things are coming to pass at the same time. Then last night, it hit me. The God of this world is Satan. I believe he is responsible for all of these things because I am convinced it will not be long until the Lord comes to take the believers to be with him in the air at the rapture. In the book of Revelation, chapter 12, the context is that of the tribulation period that follows the rapture. In verse 12 we read, "Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows he has but a short time." This passage refers to a time when Satan will be cast out of heaven to the earth for the final time. The heavens will rejoice because he's gone. However, his wrath will be poured out unmercifully upon the earth. The woe is given to those left on the earth who will suffer all the wrath Satan can muster. As we see world events falling into place in preparation for events that will follow the rapture, becoming quite clear as we could be taken out of there at any moment, the devil is certainly aware of these things. 2 Peter 3, 1-7 seems to at least touch on all four of the institutions. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good things, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people turn away. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captive of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. In this short paragraph, I believe the Apostle Paul is touching on all four of these God-given institutions. The first of these is marriage. Though it is not mentioned, we find him speaking about lust and unfaithfulness. Referring to the institution of family, he speaks about children being disobedient to parents. As for the matter of government, he writes about those being lovers of themselves, wanting their own way with no authority over them. He also writes about those who will be traitors and despisers of that which is good. Finally, he writes about the church and those who will have a form of godliness, but not really knowing and walking with the Lord. Every institution ordained by God will be shredded in the perilous times of the last days. My question to you is this: are we nearing those days? Now I'd like to take some time to consider what is taking place in our society relative to each of these divine institutions. The first one is marriage. The other day I received a request to take part in a national survey from a very well-known firm. One of the questions had to do with gender. Was I male, female, transgender, or one of the other seven genders? If there are so many supposedly different genders today, how can marriage be a sacred God-given institution in today's society? Marriage is looked upon so lightly today, even by those who claim to know the Lord. So many couples are living together without the bond of matrimony. It has almost become the norm. It breaks my heart that some of my own grandchildren have fallen into this trap of the devil. On the opposite side, among those who are married, the divorce rate has become astronomical. In our supposed institutions of higher learning, marriage is no more considered to be the normal way of life. Now we'll turn our attention to the second God-given institution, the family. In our society today, the family is being ripped apart at a rapid rate. The desire of some is to get our children as early as possible and indoctrinate them into the new way of living. I just learned of a school system that in planning their new curriculum will teach kids in kindergarten about lesbianism. How far will our society go from teaching the basics of reading, writing, and arithmetic to push their twisted ways on our children? One of the major problems we are facing in our churches today is the loss of our young people. So many churches are only having one service a week, and even though the gospel may be faithfully given to the pulpit, the youth are not getting enough teaching of biblical principles of life. They soon fall prey to the onslaught of the secular humanistic teaching they are receiving 5 days of the week. Added to all of this are the number of one-parent households. Usually that parent is forced to work, and the children are left to fend for themselves out of necessity. The other alternative is to live on welfare, which leads to that entire family working the system, learning to depend on the government to provide for every need. We're also seeing many protesters in the streets, burning, looting, shooting, and ripping cities apart. When you see pictures of those who are involved, you mainly see young people who have no values in life. They have been taken in by the godless way of life and have no regard for any of the institutions that have been given by God. The third institution ordained by God is human government. It was designed by God so that order might be kept on the earth that was populated by sinful mankind. It was to keep a semblance of peace and order through laws and treaties. It was not long before one group of people were at war with another group. This has continued throughout the centuries because of the sinful nature of mankind. As we consider government today, it becomes very easy to see that Satan really seems to be exercising his power here. We soon see that politics have taken over, creating major divisions and factions. The different parties are always in conflict with each other, and it has come to the point that in so many cases they're unable to sit down with one another and work out their differences for the good of their country. This leads to their people being as confused as their leaders. Rioters often roam the streets, destroying property, often killing people for no reason at all. Law and order is set aside just because these things, or thugs rather, desire to overthrow anything that gets in their way. Leadership is often taken, leaders often take their sides, allowing them to do whatever they want without anyone to halt their activities. Then there is the worldwide pandemic known as COVID-19. National leaders at first had no way of knowing how to deal with it. Hundreds of thousands have tested positive to the disease, some with no symptoms, some very seriously ill, and many others have fatally succumbed to this disease. Leaders across the world are at a loss as to how to combat this pandemic. Then politics raises its ugly head, and the average citizen does not know who to believe or what to do. It certainly appears Satan is having a heyday in our world today. The fourth and last institution God has ordained is the church. The responsibilities of the church are basically evangelism, missionary outreach, and the preaching and teaching of the Word of God, which should lead to godly living and a clear testimony to the world of their changed lives. The attack on churches has become relentless. In China, they're burning churches to the ground, even while the people are inside worshiping the Lord. Pastors and their families disappear from the scene, never to be heard from again. In Africa, radical Muslim groups are also burning churches and murdering Christians. They have even come into Christian schools and orphanages to kill the children. Just last week in the United States, 5 churches were torched. If that's not enough, we find many churches today succumbing to the things of the world. Recently, a woman told me the people go to their church each week to have an argument. In so many churches today, you have what Paul said, they have a form of godliness only. The cry I hear from faithful pastors is often, where have the faithful gone? Oh, why have we lost our young people? In many cases, compromise is the order of the day. Right in our town, we've had 4 churches that have closed, who once faithfully preached the gospel They've closed all within the last year. I could say much more, but this is sufficient for our message today. I've entitled this message, The Greatest Pandemic of All Time. The entire world has been facing the COVID-19 pandemic, and it has taken many lives, ruined the welfare of many people, and many have been sickened by it, and thankfully have recovered. Millions have lost their means of income, and all have been affected in one way or another. However, this is not the greatest pandemic. The greatest pandemic of all time is silently coming to pass before our very eyes. I am totally convinced that Satan is having a great heyday. He has been working to destroy the foundations of all the basic institutions that God has ordained: marriage, the family, government, and the church. They are all under attack at the same time, for the first time in history. Paul told Timothy these would be the signs of the last days. That being the case, our Lord's return could be very soon. My question to you is, are you ready to meet him? Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? Or will you face an eternal pandemic in the lake of fire? The choice is yours. Make that decision to trust Christ as your Savior. Tomorrow could be too late.
I trust the message you just heard will be a great blessing to your spiritual life and you draw you close to the Lord throughout this next week. Here at Canada's National Bible Hour, we not only want people to grow in their faith, but we also want to share the gospel for those who have maybe never received Christ as their personal Savior, which is the most important decision that a person will ever make. The scriptures are very clear that all of us have sinned, and of course, even one sin will keep us out of the presence of a holy God who is perfect and pure. And so we need a Savior. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The scriptures also say, but the wages of sin, in other words, the payment for your sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. The Lord Jesus was God. He became man. He went to the cross, and there he bore our sins in his body and took the wrath and the anger of God that God has for us and for our sinfulness and placed it on the Lord Jesus. And he paid a debt that we could not pay. And we are so thankful that God in his great love chose his only begotten Son to go to the cross and bear our sins and take our place on that cross. And because he did that, he said it's finished. And as we have a relationship with Christ, as we act in faith, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, we can become a child of God. And God will look over us as a father. He'll forgive us our sins. We'll have the indwelling Holy Spirit to change our life and to become the person that God wants us to be. And so we just pray that you will make that decision today. Remember to order your copy of Pandemic. Please write to Canada's National Bible Hour, Box 1210, St. Catharines, Ontario, L2R7A7, or in the United States at Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, 14231. Or you can visit us at missiongo.org, which is our website, missiongo.org. Please remember to pray for us before the throne of grace, and please don't forget to order your copy of Pandemic. It will be a great blessing to you. May the Lord bless you throughout this next week.